And so I bring you greetings this morning from Leonard. He is not here. He's down in Cape, and he's been attending the regional conference of the network of churches we belong to, the Christian Network. So Leonard's already spoken twice this week, and he's speaking this morning as we speak. He's busy preaching, and he'll be preaching tonight. So he's definitely not on the beach, but we do wish him sometime on the beach, right? And so again, as a church, we just honor you for blessing other churches with your pastor today. And just in your hearts today, just pray for Leonard and everything he's sharing down there, that he'll be a blessing down there. And so we've got a blessing for you this morning. We have a guest speaker, and I want to call Pastor Ardy to join me up here on stage. And let's give it up for Pastor Ardy as he joins me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now, Pastor Ardy is a very good friend of Leonard. He's one of our senior leaders in the network. And so it's a privilege to have him here this morning, all the way from Burgersfort. I've never been to Burgersfort. Have any of you been to Burgersfort?
You'll be there one day.
We'll come and visit, all of us. So, Pastor Ardy, thank you for your time today. Bless you as you bring us the Lord's Word. Thank you, sir.
Good morning. I just want to thank Pastor Leonard, who is a blessing to another church today. I trust God that I will also be a blessing to you this morning. Thanks so much to Pastor Leonard and Giselle, for as well as the leadership of this church, just for honoring me with this pulpit. And I believe God is going to help us all. And friends, thank you for the hospitality. You have been so good to us since we came here, and God bless you. Let us just pray before I start sharing the word of God. Shall we close our eyes? Father God, I just want to pray, the God of hope and the source of hope, I pray that you fill us completely with your joy this morning. Fill us with your peace, because as we are seated here, we trust in you. May, dear Father, may your spirit bring proper interpretation of your word to us all, that we may leave this place encouraged. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, speak through me, O God, touch through me, encourage through me, restore hope through me. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, this morning I want to talk under this topic, regardless, there is always hope. I want to say to us all, as I'll be speaking about hope this morning, you can lose anything in your life, but not hope. Just make sure that you hold on to hope, no matter what is going on around you. I'll give the dictionary meanings of the keywords in this topic, being regardless and hope. Regardless in this context means despite the prevailing circumstances, there is always hope, regardless. And the word hope, it's a feeling of expectation and is a desire for a particular thing to happen. And if I have to sum it up, I may say, despite the prevailing circumstances, there should always be that feeling of expectation and desire for that particular positive thing, that particular good thing to happen in your life. Our main text is found in Hebrews chapter 6. We will read two verses only. That is verse number 18 and verse number 19, according to the New Living Translation. But before that, let me just quickly give the background of this scripture. Sorry. This is written to the brethren, the Hebrew brethren in Jerusalem, after accepting Jesus in their lives as Lord and Savior, after believing in Christ. They started going through tough time, ill-treated, persecuted because of their faith in Christ. And because of that, some believers started to doubt God, started to doubt the promises of God, and some were even thinking of going back to their former religion, probably Judaism. I say probably. And when this elder of the church, the writer of the book of Hebrews, looked at their situation, he realized they were just about to backslide because of what they were going through, especially when they started to doubt God's promises. Now, he wrote this series of sermons to them, encouraging them to trust in God's promises. I think if I were there, I would even be saying to them, all God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All God's promises. Now he cites Abraham. He gives an example of Abraham. After receiving a promise from God, he waited and waited and waited without wavering until he received the promise. Now, in verse number 18, he says to them, so God has given both his promise and his oath. It means he gave his promise because he's God and backed up the promise with an oath. These two things, that is the promise and the oath, are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Remember, he's writing this to the discouraged believers. And I'm standing here today and say to you, in life, we meet things. In one way or another, we lose hope. One way or another, we get discouraged. And I'm saying to you, God cannot lie. In fact, he will not even try to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Whenever he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Then I'm saying to us all God's promises in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because of Jesus who died for us on the cross of Calvary, all God's promises are yes and amen. Amen. And he goes on to say, remember, he's speaking to the people who are really, really down, who are discouraged. He goes on to say, therefore, now that it is impossible for God to lie, we, I love this word, we, he includes himself. He says, we who have fled to him, to Christ, for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. Because we know it is impossible for Christ for God to lie, and we who have fled to Christ for refuge, for safety, we who have accepted Jesus for safety, we can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. What is the hope that he's speaking about here? It's the hope of salvation. Verse number 19, he says, this hope I'm talking about, I love this. This hope I'm talking about, it's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, he wants them to understand that this is not just the hope I'm talking. It's no hope from the world, but it's the hope of God, because our God is the source of hope. Now, he says the hope I'm talking about here is not weak. It's a trust, it's a strong and trustworthy anchor. Those of us who don't know anchor, maybe. An anchor is an object and used to hold something firm. It's a source of security and stability. This means the hope that you must hold on to, this hope will hold, will keep our souls stable. Remember, the soul consists of the mind, the will, and emotions. And can you imagine when your mind is not stable and the devil is attacking your mind and there's nothing that anchors the mind and the will, which is part of the soul, and emotions. Sometimes you cry, even when you don't have to cry. Emotions can take you this way and that way. But when the soul is anchored, our emotions are under control. And may this be your blessing today. The storms of life may threaten to push the ship of our lives onto the rocks. But listen, our anchor is always firmly fixed. Now, this hope, which is the anchor of our soul, will bring stability to your mind, bring stability to your will, and stability to your soul. And I just want to mention 4 points quickly, and these points go like this. Just 4 points to remember. Number one, there is God's kindness for the hopeless. If you are seated here today and in one way or another you are hopeless, things are not going your way, there is God's kindness. God will come through for you. Number two, moving from hopelessness to hopefulness, this is what God will do. Restoration has a tendency of coming unexpectedly. Tendency can come when we least expect it. And number four, there is hope to all the living. Let's start with point number one. There is always God's kindness for the hopeless. Now here, let me use a storyline of a man in the Bible called Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. Jonathan is the son of King Saul. Therefore, Mephibosheth is the grandson of King Saul. Now, there was war between the Israelites and the Philistines, and in the battle, it happened that King Saul died, Jonathan died, his brothers died, and when the news reached the palace where Mephibosheth was, the nurse, the lady who took care of Mephibosheth, was so frightened that she decided to flee for refuge. Now, in a haste, she took Mephibosheth, who by then was only 5 years old. Now, as she ran for refuge, somehow she dropped this 5-year-old boy and he broke his 2 legs. He was taken to a place called Lodibar and he stayed there for a long time, forgotten. This is what life can do to us. One day, because now after the death of King Saul, David became the king. Now one day, because there is always a one day for us all, one day will be your one day. God will remember you. He remembered the Israelites in Egypt. He will remember you as you pray, as you are being prayed for. One day, one day, one day, God's kindness will locate you, will find you. One day David asked, he asked $1 million question. Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? He asked one of the servants called Ziba. He asked again, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. The king was burning with God's kindness. And I believe that time God remembered Mephibosheth. Now the king who had that authority was burning with God's. Is there anyone still alive? And you can imagine the answer here. The answer will just unlock things. And Ziba said, yes. He's the son of Jonathan, and he's crippled both feet. This takes us to point number two, from hopelessness to hopefulness. Now he asks another question again. Remember, questions unlock things. Jesus would say, God said, Adam, where are you? One day Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Questions unlock things. Now he asked this question, where is he? It's like he's saying, quick, go and find him. I want to show him God's kindness. Then Ziba says, he's in Lodibar. Now quickly, let me talk about Lodibar. Lodibar is a place of hopelessness. That's what Lodibar means. It's a place of rebellion. It's a place of no leadership. It's a place of no word or oracle, no prophetic word, where God will never say a word of encouragement to anybody like I'm standing here. That's Lodibar. Lodibar, one can quickly say, it's like hell on earth. Listen, brethren. This life, no matter who you are, can put you in Lodibar. From the palace, he was born in the palace, but somehow life put him in Lodibar. He did not do anything wrong, but he happened to be a victim of circumstances. Maybe you're seated here today, you are a victim of circumstances. Life has put you in Lodibar. But I want to say, the grace of God, the kindness of God, and the mercies of God, which are new every day, are able to move you from hopelessness to hopefulness. Then this is what happened to this man, Mephibosheth. This takes us to point number three. Restoration can happen when least unexpected. Call for him. They called Mephibosheth, brought him to the palace. You know, the devil temporarily, for some years or so, some months, can put you in Lodibar. But let me tell you, the kindness of God will locate you and find you. Sickness can put you there. Problems in your marriage can put you there. Joblessness can put you there. Remember, when God promises, God is not like political campaigners who make promises for the sake of getting votes. When God makes a promise, he fulfills it. When he knows, at the right time, he will fulfill it. Now, when Mephibosheth is there, and just like any other day, in suffering, just suffering like any other day, here comes a message to him. The king calls for you. You can imagine. He was not excited. He started shivering. Today is my death. It's my death. He's going to kill me. I belong to Saul's family. When God comes through for you, it's always like things are moving from bad to worse. When it's like you are at the darkest hour of your life, God will come through for you. He says to him, don't be afraid. I intend to show kindness to you. Why? Because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. Can you imagine if a man like David can keep his promise, how much more about our God? I will give you all the property. Come on, all the property, all. Not some of the property. A man who has been poor for the half of his life, now he receives all the property that belonged to Saul, your grandfather. And you will eat with me at the king's table. It's not everybody who can eat at the king's table. Right from Lodibar to the palace. He was in the palace and went to Lodibar. Discouraged. It's like things are not working for me. You could be in Lodibar now. But I'm saying to you, the kindness of God will locate you, will find you, and move you out of that situation and put you back to hopefulness. So excited, say, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Look at the simile there. Look at the comparison there. And he sees, he has always seen himself as a dead dog. He was just, you know, Lodibar. And here I am. Life can put me in Lodibar. Life can put in Lodibar where you are reduced to the level, not of just a dog, but like a dead dog. This is what life can do. Now, who am I? Hey. Point number four. There is hope to all the living. Can I give you this scripture that will encourage you? Sometimes, because of what you are going through, say, okay, there is a church service. Let me just go there. Okay, you come to the church service like nothing is happening to you. Listen to me. There is your one day. There is always your one day. One day will be your one day when God will remember you, and his kindness will locate you and pull you out. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, according to King James Version, says, for to him, to her, that is joined to all the living. Those of us, we are here. No one is in the mortuary here. You might be going through tough time, might be in Lodibar. But for the fact that you are still alive, you are still joined to the living, I'm saying to you, there is hope. For the fact that you are still alive, very sick, from doctor to doctor, carrying a lot of medication, and you are not getting well. But for the fact that you are still alive, I say to you, there is hope. Listen to this. Why? For a living dog, it's a dog, but at least it is still alive. At least it's a bull, but it's still alive. Now the Bible says, for a living dog is far much better than a dead lion. Somebody leave the place, say, I might have the Lodibar might have reduced me to a dog, but at least I'm still alive. And a living dog is better than a dead lion. In conclusion, I want to say to you, brethren, after hearing the message of hope, hold on. Hold on. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 to 25, again to the Hebrews. Listen to this message of the Hebrews to the Hebrews again, according to easy to read version. Verse 23. We must hold on. We must hold on to the hope we have. We are living this place with hope. And I'm saying to you, hold on to the hope you have. Never hesitating to tell people about it. We can trust God to do what he has promised. In one village, there was this man who went out to do business with his son. And as he was busy with his business, there came a heavy rain pouring. And he had to wait for the rain to subside before he could cross the river and go back to his house. Now, when the rain subsided, got into the car with his son. And as he approached the river, there was a low-lying bridge there, and water was flowing over the bridge. Then he decided to drive and cross the river as usual. He did not see that the bridge had been washed away by the water. When he tried to cross, the car fell into the river and water carried that car somehow. Even though the river was infested with hippos and crocs, the boy managed to escape and found himself at the river bank. And the man also escaped the crocs. They saw food. And there was a tree that was still standing there. And he climbed that thorny tree. And when he was climbing, the crocs were trying to get hold of him, but he went up. And as he was going up, he was not the only one who found refuge on the tree. There was also a black mamba up there that found refuge on the tree. And he could not go down. Crocs are hungry there. The black mamba is being disturbed there, and he has to hold on to those pricky branches. And the boy standing on the river bank said, "Daddy, hold on to that tree. I promise I'll do something about it." Called the villagers. There came the villagers running to come and help. On arrival there, they realized this is too big for us. Say, "Hey man, hold on to that tree. We will do something about it. Just hold on." They called the police. When the police came, they looked at the situation. One of the police senior officers took the loudhailer. "Hey, please listen to us. Hold on to that tree. We will do something about it. We promise to do something." Now, because of the promises, he held on. Because they're promising him. In no time, there was a sound of an helicopter. Now, as the helicopter drew closer to the tree, he knew these people tried their best. They did all they could. But surely, 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 my help will come from above. And I'm saying to us all, people will help you, but your ultimate help will come from above. John Maxwell, if the word hope was to be an acronym, he would say H stands for hold, O for on, P for pray, and E for expectantly, which will read, hold on and pray expectantly. Another man says, hold on, pain ends. Shall we pray? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may abound in hope. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And God bless you.